For KASU News, I'm Jonathan Reeves. This November, there are four seats that are up for grabs on the Jonesboro City Council. Alderman Ward 2, Position 1, has incumbent Dr. Charles Coleman facing Tom Elwood. Ward 4, Position 1, has incumbent John Street facing Amanda Dunavant. Ward 5, Position 1, has L.J. Bryant, the incumbent, facing Robert Speer. And Ward 6, Position 1, has incumbent Bobby Long facing Tommy Baker. Today we focus on the Ward 6, Position 1 race. And I ask both gentlemen the same questions, and that way you can have an opportunity to hear the answers for those questions. First, I start with Bobby Long, who's the incumbent at Ward 6, Position 1, and asked him why he was seeking re-election to the Jonesboro City Council.
It would be the same reason that I ran the first time. I'm from Leechville, Arkansas. I come over here in 1985 when I graduated high school. I've been an ASU Indian, was not fortunate enough to be a Red Wolf, but I grew up with ASU. My wife is a Valley View resident. She was a Valley View resident, a Nettleton graduate. She also attended ASU and actually spent 16 years out there in the nursing and healthcare professions. My boys grew up here, Jonesboro, went to high school in Jonesboro. Both of them graduated in May. Now one of them is actually at ASU and plays the quads in the Sound of the Natural State. So we are totally vested in this community, vested in ASU. I'm on the Northeast Arkansas Workforce Development Board, where we oversee the funding and the different aspects of getting people jobs here in this community. I'm an elder at the Rock of NEA on Johnson. I've been there since it started. Been involved in different evangelical or evangelistic outreaches in the neighborhood.
And I also asked Tommy Baker why he was running for election for the city council.
Well, I decided to run for council so that I can make a change. At times I feel that my opponent is not making the right decisions for the citizens of Jonesboro. I'm also running not for right now, but I'm running for the future as well. For anyone else that wants to come after me, I just want to be a catalyst of a resource, a vehicle for people to know that there is a way to get involved in city government.
I asked both gentlemen about that there has been a push for more bike and pedestrian paths in Jonesboro, how they felt about more of those paths, and how they would be funded. I started by asking Tommy Baker.
Okay, so bike paths is, I did a research on the bike pedestrian plan, and bikes, we have a behind my house, I stay on Crepe Myrtle, is a bike path, but it's man-made. It's not necessarily something the city purposely done. It's man-made. But bike paths will connect the city as well. For the residents that lives outside of the county, on the county roads, it'll give them a sense of connectivity. So if they're bike riders, they can ride their bike on into town or wherever they need to go, and it'll keep them safe, most definitely. Now, as far as funding them, I would. This is my views. Everyone cringe at taxes, but we can't rule out taxes. Taxes, to raise taxes is a option. We have our grants department. We can get with Tiffany Calloway and see her if her team can find us funds for that. And if that's not enough to fund this, there is a raising taxes. And I've said it before, Jonesboro has a wealthy population that lives here. It's just a matter of getting them on board to invest in their community. And if they invest in their community, then they'll have they'll get a sense of peace. It's just time for us to invest in our own selves. You know, we invest in our children on a personal level, and in the end, the gratification is they get a good education, or they play sports, or they do well in that, and we're happy about that. That's on a personal level. But when you talk about community, if you really care about your community, you will invest in your own community. So that's another resource that I would say raising taxes, most definitely.
And I also asked Bobby Long about bike and pedestrian paths in Jonesboro.
All right, I'm glad that you mentioned that. I'm glad that we're talking about this because it is something that is important to a lot of people. I think when we're talking bike paths, pedestrian paths, things like that, we're talking public safety, but we're also talking also comes into play more with quality of life. And quality of life to some means a lot of different things. If I was an avid biker, quality of life means bike paths, bike trails. If I was an avid hunter, quality of life means do I have access to hunting facilities, shooting ranges, things like that. If I was an avid walker, means different things. If I was a swimmer, means access to aquatic centers and swimming pools. You know, so quality of life means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So my take on quality of life, when I look at the city as a whole, is how can we get the best bang for the buck that can directly impact a lot of different people, just not certain aspects of people. One of the things that I have been pushing for is pocket parks. Pocket parks are those things that can be put on less than about 0.2 acres. And you can have wide open green spaces with some trees, park benches, picnic facilities, barbecue grills, some different things like that, but you can put them on small scale, but put them all over the city to where people in residential neighborhoods that have small children can actually walk to their neighborhood park. They don't have to get in a car and actually drive, you know, out to Craighead Forest. Now, I'm a firm supporter of Craighead Forest. I think it is the largest city-owned park in Arkansas, and it is one of the jewels of this city. You know, tremendous things have been done to support and to expand Craighead Forest, and I'm all for that. But I think we need to look, as our city grows, at different places where people can get to on foot. Doesn't take them a long time. They can get there. They can have a nice, big, open green space to where they can use their imagination and take a Frisbee, take a baseball, you know, take gloves or bats or whatever, and go out there and just have a good time with their family. And it's easy to get to. That brings up the walking trail or the sidewalks and things like that. My viewpoint on that would be, and I know that we did pass a sidewalk ordinance to where the residential developers agreed to put sidewalks on one side of the street and use the money that would be used for installing sidewalks on the other side of the street into a fund that would go to actually repair sidewalks in other areas. That was a compromise that I believe that worked out well for both sides. You know, the city gets money to repair existing sidewalks. The developer, you know, puts sidewalks on one side of the street. However, my idea would be if we're looking for ways, you know, to actually increase public safety, my idea would be let's start outside of the residential neighborhoods and start connecting these residential neighborhoods to medical facilities first. Then let's start connecting them to places where people have to walk to get food. Then let's start connecting those neighborhoods to places where they can shop. Then we can start connecting neighborhood to neighborhood. But if we're really concerned about the safety of our residents, let's start connecting these places to places that are important and are, not only valuable, but essential to their health. You know, I've seen people walking down Caraway Road or walking down Harrisburg Road, and they're walking on a path that's been worn out. You know, a sidewalk inside a residential neighborhood doesn't help that guy at all. It doesn't. But if we were to look at, okay, well, let's connect neighborhoods to medical facilities, then places where they can get food, then places where they shop, then let's start looking at neighborhood to neighborhood. Then we've actually done something. And I think that's how we need to approach that.
Right. And you're listening to the candidates in the Ward 6 Position 1 race in the city of Jonesboro between Bobby Long and Tommy Baker. Speaking of sidewalks, there has been a push for more sidewalks in Jonesboro. I asked both candidates if they felt that more sidewalks were needed in Jonesboro and what plan would there be for replacing sidewalks in. And I talked to the incumbent, Bobby Long.
Well, that's exactly, you know, to address the sidewalks. I think sidewalks are important, but I see them more important for a public safety aspect than I do anything. And as you well know, the proverbial pie, we've only got so much that we can do. And no one wants to work in a city that is not safe. No one wants to raise their family in a city that's not safe. No one wants to start a business in a city that's not safe, nor do they want to grow a corporation in a city that's not safe. So if I were to prioritize these things, I would say public safety would have to be number one, because if you don't have that firm foundation of public safety and a public trust, you know, that when they walk out in their neighborhood at nighttime that they're going to be safe in doing so, or when they walk, you know, to the store at nighttime that they're going to be safe, then nothing else really matters. You know, so you got to get your foundation right. And I think foundationally public safety is one of those things. Infrastructure, I think, would be next. And I think making sure that our roads that connect these different places right now are well maintained. I think the next level would be, how do these people, you know, public transportation, supporter of jets, I think that would be a great, we need to continue to support our public transportation. Then transportation on a lower level, which would be sidewalks. And I think I've already laid out, you know, how I would go about that, or how I see the logical steps toward good public safety is. And I think sidewalks are a part of that, but I think smart sidewalks, you know, putting them in places that actually make a difference to people, you know, is a part of that.
And that's Bobby Long. Now, I also talked to Tommy Baker about sidewalks in Jonesboro.
Well, it goes back to the editor. He said that he was talking about the young lady that was pushing her child across the road in a stroller. I live in a neighborhood that doesn't have very many sidewalks. It's off of, if everybody knows where Crepe Myrtle is, it's a 16-year-old subdivision. The codes wasn't changed. The zoning codes wasn't changed then when those houses was built. But now they're requiring new subdivisions to have these sidewalks. Well, I want to be connected. We not only walk our dog, but we have neighbors that walk dogs. And we also have children that play in the streets. And everyone knows that playing in the street is not safe. Never have been. We live almost in a curve and cars come around. So it's a safety issue. That's how I view sidewalks. We have got to have sidewalks implemented throughout the whole city of Jonesboro, just for safety purposes. And it goes back to public safety once again, protecting our pets, protecting our children, and pedestrians on bikes.
All right. What would be your plan for placing more sidewalks in Jonesboro?
Well, it's already started, you know, with the new subdivisions. And I would tell people, you know, if we go with sidewalks in their neighborhood, they will be funded for losing a portion of their property. Now, I know some people might cringe at it, but in the long run, if we can just show them the plan of connectivity, because you have one side, new subdivision, have sidewalks looking nice and beautiful, and then you have this 16-year-old subdivision that the sidewalk stopped right there. Why? I believe that sidewalks throughout the city shows that Jonesboro is a connected city. Hmm. And from when I was in Conway at school, sidewalks, it just brought up a homely feeling. You're safe from, you know, traffic on the highway or the streets. And also riding down Red Wolf Boulevard, how many people I see in a Burger King outfit or their uniform, and they're walking to dodge traffic, running across. It's a mess, and they should have a safe route to their job and from job to home.
The next question that I asked both candidates were about, there's been a call for an aquatic center or a water park in Jonesboro, similar to what's in Paragould or Batesville. I asked both candidates about their thoughts on how that would be accomplished and how that could be funded. I first talked with Tommy Baker.
Well, for a long time, Jonesboro, this has been a talk. it's just really time out for stop talking about it. And what are we going to do about it? You know, you have a lot of our people that are residents that live in Jonesboro that goes to Paragould or goes to Hot Springs or various places that have the Little Rock, goes to these various places enjoy their water park. But why do they have to leave, take their money to outside avenues and have fun there and then come back and say Jonesboro is boring? You know, we got to get away from that. We want to make Jonesboro to be a city of attraction. We want people from Memphis and various and surrounding areas to come to Jonesboro and say, I like Jonesboro. Jonesboro drew me in. What can we do to make, I mean, I'm not just talking about little piddly water park, just, you know, a generic one. I'm talking about something that's going to be an attraction. Of course, we can't get a Six Flags here, but we do have a lot of land to do that. And again, it goes back. Like I said, I wasn't totally against the annexation, but let's just say we had an annexation with Brooklyn. That would be more land where we could put a more sufficient and quality water park. But the only way that we would have to do the annexation is if it's going to bring in revenue. We need that money. It's just the truth. It's all about economic smarts.
And I also talked to Bobby Long, and asked him about his thoughts on an aquatic center.
Let me tell you something. And this is my point of view. Other people have different points of view. Mm-hmm. My point of view is this. There's a reason that a private organization has not come in and put in a water park yet. Either we've not went to and sought out the right developer to do it, or they see it not making money. Now, if to me, I don't think government should be in the realm of those things that should be left to the private sector. I think things like water parks and aquatics, water parks especially, should be left to the private sector. I think that we should go out and we should court these developers and these people that come in and place these water parks. I think that we should go out and get them to come in, take a hard look at Jonesboro, and see if we can't get them to come in, buy our land, hire our people, and run that thing in a way to where it can be profitable for them, and give Jonesboro a water park. But for the city to go out and fund a water park, I think would not be the right thing to do, because that would be putting government, you know, in a position to where it's doing those things that should be left to the private sector. Now, I would be all for taking, you know, these pocket parks ideas and putting smaller community swimming pools in. That's something that I think the city could also maintain. It wouldn't be a low cost. We could charge a minimal fee for it, you know, for swimming, and it could possibly even pay for itself, you know. But to go out and build something that I think should be left to the private sector would not be smart for the city of Jonesboro.
We're continuing on now with this conversation between both candidates for the Alderman Ward 6 Position 1 seat on the Jonesboro City Council, between incumbent Bobby Long and challenger Tommy Baker. The next question I asked both gentlemen involved what the city of Jonesboro's mayor, Harold Perrin, has said about the city's reserves. He says they're being depleted at a rapid rate, and he says if action does not take place, other measures might be needed. I asked Long how he would address this specific issue when it comes to the reserves and the city's budget.
I know that one of the mayor's main thrusts in that whole conversation is the internet sales tax. He's saying that the internet sales tax is killing local businesses. The internet sales tax is sucking money out of local economies. I'm just not real sure, you know, that that's the case. You know, first of all, I think that, you know, a lot of our local businesses have online stores. You know, they ship out. Matter of fact, I remember one of them saying, you know, somebody walking in the store and asking, well, how's your day going? Well, it's sort of slow, you know, but I'm feeling internet sales, you know. So those are sales that are happening. But as far as the internet sales tax goes, I'm not really for sure how much of that money was coming back. I know that I had a meeting with the mayor and a few of the other city government officials. And when I asked what percentage of that dollar comes back to Jonesboro, at that point they said none. Where it goes is the state in the general fund. But there's no allocation for the city yet. So I'm thinking, why would I want to be in favor of a internet sales tax, you know, that would make our citizens pay more for the things that they get, you know, out of state? You know, why would I want to do that when none of the money's coming back to us anyway? You know, my stance on that was, you know, when you can tell me that a large portion or our fair share of that money, of that dollar that's collected, actually comes back to Jonesboro for the benefit of Jonesboro, then I'll look at supporting that. But until then, I'm not going to support it. I play a lot of music. I play guitar and things like that. And before I buy anything online, I will always go to our local retailers. You know, I'll go to the music stores, you know, that are here in town, and I'll see if they have it. I'll see if they offer it. Matter of fact, I waited a week on a local retailer to get a certain item in so that I could buy it from them. You know, so I'm not looking to just, you know, go out and spend lots of money, you know, online or to buy things that I could buy local online. I do shop local, and I think people here have a good relationship with the local retailers here that they would do the same thing. You know, but sometimes it just comes down, you just can't find it here. You know, and I don't want to burden the people of Jonesboro with a tax that they could get lower, you know, on items that they would have to go out and purchase elsewhere anyway. You know, then another way, I guess, would be to raise taxes. But before I would be in favor of any increase in taxes, I want to make sure that our local government is running as efficiently and as effectively as possible. I also want to make sure that a lot of our needs are addressed first before we go out and spend a lot of money on our wants. Mm-hmm. Case in point, Craighead Forest Park. You know, there was one city council meeting, and I remember it vividly, where we had just heard a report of our reserves are depleting. We need to raise taxes. We need to do this. We've got to have to do something in the future, you know, or else we're not going to be able to do, you know, we're not going to be able to do the things that we're doing and blah, 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 blah. 5-10 minutes later, we had a proposition to spend $450,000 on 40 acres behind Craighead Forest. And I was the only no vote. You know, I'm thinking, how could we do this? How 10 minutes earlier, we were saying we're going to have to raise taxes because we don't have any money, but then 10 minutes later, we vote to spend $450,000 on 40 acres of land on, you know, to expand all the already largest city state park, you know, in the state. I just didn't think that was a well-allocated use of money. And I think in the future there are things that we might have to, you know, have to forego or postpone, you know, until we do get our infrastructure or our sales tax revenue up. I think one of the best things we can do to increase the amount of revenue coming in is to be an incubator for small businesses and to make it not so difficult for developers to come in and develop places that are, you know, that are going to hire people, that are going to, you know, spend money, that are going to draw people to our city so that they can spend money in our city. You know, so one of the best ways to increase the revenue isn't to tax people, but it's to alleviate the boundaries and bondage that we've put on these people that actually come in and create jobs. I would much rather raise increase tax revenue on, you know, by people coming in and spending money in our city than to raise sales tax on people and take it from them.
And also, I asked Tommy Baker about his thoughts on the city's reserves and what his plan would be.
Well, let's look at some projects that they're talking about, such as the annexation. Why would we want to acquire more land when we're not doing what we're doing, doing the best that we can do with what we have already? That will cost more money. So we have to look at where we're spending our money, where we're putting it. So we want to revisit, you know, what are we spending our money currently right now? Is it going to things that are going to bring back revenue, or is it going towards, you know, just various projects that's to please people? I mean, it's all about where we're putting our allocations, and I tend to get in there and help view these processes rather than making impulsive decisions just because I want to please my party.
And also, I talked to both gentlemen about their view on traffic issues in Jonesboro and how they think the traffic issues should be resolved in the future. Here is Tommy Baker.
Okay, so I worked at NEA Hospital, and, you know, traffic comes in from Paragould in the Brooklyn area. So it's multiple wrecks on the road. And while I was working there, I asked the transportation or the maintenance director, could we get a sign to put out there to stop traffic? Because what was happening is there was an emergency exit to go into the hospital, and cars from that traffic, from Paragould, would block off that exit. And I asked to put a sign for vehicles not to block this exit and to maybe even stop here, a point where people won't block off that entrance. So that's one thing that I would want to do, more signage to give directives for traffic. Complete streets, most definitely, because if I'm not mistaken, the letter of the editor Friday put in a Wes, what's his last name?
Wessel.
Wessel.
Yeah.
Last
yeah,
name Wessel.
Chris Wessel. Yeah.
So that article is an example as to what I'm talking about concerning quality of life and infrastructure. Excuse me. Is because we should have the proper streets and for bike riders. Complete streets, pedestrian plans put in place. This will help with that traffic so that, we'll protect our bike riders and we'll also protect ongoing and coming traffic. There's been talk about a ramp to divert traffic, and I think that will be a good tool that we can use for our city to get all that congestion off of Red Wolf Boulevard. Oh my goodness, I ran out of gas on Red Wolf Boulevard one time, and that was a terrible experience. But if we had a proper plan in place, we'll have a place where ongoing cars in those type of situations could pull over into that area, and we won't stop up traffic. So it's a long coming plan, but it's worth having.
Bobby Long talks about traffic issues in Jonesboro.
I tell you what, it's astounding at the growth that Jonesboro's seen over the past year. Look at this. Within the next year, we're going to have a convention center on Red Wolf, okay? The entrances and exits to that convention center are going to either dump out into Washington, they're going to dump out on the stadium. I mean, not Washington, Johnson. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to dump out on the stadium. And that's going to be done within a year. They started this year, will probably finish next year. In order, and it's difficult for a city to even keep up with the growth at that point, but I think that we as a city need to look at different places. Harrisburg Road is another one of them. You know, I know that there was a big development for Harrisburg Road. We are making inways on that as the overpass going over the tracks. They're at Highland, and we're also looking at developing the stages of going over on Airport Road, you know, those two tracks. Have you ever got caught in between those two trains. Mm-hmm. I have for 20 minutes, I was sitting there going back and forth, you know. So those are going to be helpful in getting traffic. But at some point, these places in Jonesboro that have created bottlenecks, we're going to have to relieve them some way. I think that, you know, there are some advocates, people that are opposed, you know, of widening some of these streets on out. However, at one point, there's just nowhere else for the traffic to go. We've got to widen these places out. We have to work with the state, you know, to not only just, you know, it's almost the same thing with flooding. I'm sure we're probably going to get the flooding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's, if you look at flooding, the flooding has the same issue. We can have the best drainage in the city, keep all of our drainage things clean and all of our ditches clean. But if it gets out to the county and it gets backed up in the county, it's going to back up in the Jonesboro. So we have to work with our county flood zones and flood districts in order to open them up and make sure they're open so the water has places to go. It's the same way with traffic. We have to make sure that whatever we do in the city is complemented by things that the state is doing so that we can work together to make sure, you know, we don't have five lanes of traffic going out to Harrisburg Road, and then all of a sudden it just goes down the tube because the state hadn't done anything to go on, you know, and get it on out there. So all we've done is just move the bottleneck, you know. So we've got to look for ways that where we can cooperate with the state and work in conjunction with them, you know, to relieve that traffic and get it on out there to where, you know, people that want to get out to certain areas can, you know, or certain residential areas can turn off and exit and reduce that traffic. And as that traffic gets reduced, then we can look at narrowing those roads. But we have got to work in conjunction with the state in order to do that. Same way we're going to have to work with flooding with the drainage districts out in the county to make sure that they're doing what they need to do so that the water doesn't just back up.
And you're listening to the candidates for Alderman Ward 6, Position 1, on the Jonesboro City Council as they talk about various issues in Jonesboro. We continue with talking about growth in Jonesboro as it continues to increase at about 3% a year. I asked each candidate what they thought the city should do by way of approaching future planning and infrastructure needs at such a high growth rate. I started with incumbent Bobby Long.
Well, I believe that this 3% growth rate is going to afford a lot of economic growth in our city. You know, we're going to have developers to come in and build. We're going to have contractors that hire sheetrockers, electricians, plumbers, lawn care people, things like that. So the growth, there's a lot of cities in our state that would love to have the problems that we have, you know. And I think it's just a testimony to not only past, but also it is a call, you know, to fervency for leaders in the future, you know, because I want to make sure that whoever comes to our city feels safe, they have reasonable access to affordable utilities, public utilities, places to shop, places to eat, and places to go, well taken care of, city schools, public schools. I don't know if you've ever lived anywhere else, but I have. I lived in cities to where you wouldn't even think about putting your kids in public schools because there's such a war zone. You know, but here our kids had a wonderful experience at Jonesboro High, and I think that any of a number of people could say the same thing about Nettleton, Westside, Valley View, any of our public schools surrounding Brooklyn, surrounding this area. Mm-hmm. So how would we do infrastructure? You know, the city itself does a good job. Our grant writers do a good job of going out and trying to find these, you know, these grants that can help us expand our infrastructure and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to work in conjunction with the state. You know, and I know you know as well as I do that some of these projects, it's just not, hey, let's go build a road, or hey, let's just expand a road. You know, you have property owners that own the land that we've got to go out and try to procure. Then we've got to look at utility. What's it going to cost to move utilities? What's it going to cost to lay this road? What's it going to cost, you know, for drainage? How is that going to affect drainage? How is it going to affect the ecological systems? How is it going to affect the environment? You know, so there's a lot of different studies that go in, that go into even expanding a road, much less creating one wider, like the bypass that's being talked about on the, what is the east side of town. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, the logical place to put that would be Rogers Chapel Road. It's already being used like that, you know, in some instances. You know, but because we've got to work in conjunction with the state wants it a little further out, you know. So, you know, there are certain things that have to come together just to widen a road, you know. Then you've got to get the funds together. Where is that money going to come from? Is it going to come from grants? Is it going to come from, state cooperation? You know, where is it going to come from? So, you know, once we get a plan, we got to fund the plan. Then we got to go out and we got to make sure we procure all the lands, you know, to do that. Just utilities, drainage, ecological impact, things like that, all have to come into play. So I wished it was as easy as just, hey, let's widen the stadium because it is a nightmare at 5 o'clock, you know, or let's widen Harrisburg Road because it's a nightmare at 5 o'clock and in the morning, you know. But to do those, you have lots of other things that had to fall into place. You know, there's people, you know, that want to protect the land that they've got. You know, they don't want a 5-lane highway 20 or 15 feet from their front porch, because when they bought it, that front porch was sitting outside of a 2-lane highway and it was 50 feet from the road. Mm-hmm. You know, so we keep on getting from people and getting from people and getting from people until, you know, the highway is 15 feet from the front porch, and that's really not fair to them.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on, there have been some people who are who have been a little critical by way of thinking that there's not a whole lot of thought process of future planning when things are approved. Like, you know, you hear of announcements that are going up all the time, but some people say, well, they're not thinking about how this is all going to affect traffic 5-10 years down the road and other things 5-10 years down the road. How would you respond to that?
5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Oh, let's just back up 5 years. You know, it's 2018. Mm-hmm. Let's go 5 years back, 2013. You know, could we have planned for a convention center to go on the corner? I would have never thought a convention center would be where it was, where it's coming, you know. That's right in front of the convocation center. That's going to take parking away from ASU ball games, you know. I would have thought it would have went somewhere else, closer to the bypass, but in reality it went right where it is. You know, a 16-screen new movie theater is going out, you know, out there down Johnson, mm-hmm. toward the end down there. So sometimes the best laid plans are just put to ruin by how development actually occurs and where people see those developments going. We have laid the foundation for a great industrial park. I think, you know, we've got those things. It's easy access to I-555, you know, and things like that. So our industrial areas, I think, are going good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you start looking at developments and developers coming, I say, you know what? I think that would be a great place for a convention center. Yeah, I think as a city, we're not going to go, nah, if you don't put it somewhere else, we're going to pass. You know, now we can try to push them in different directions and things like that. But when it comes right down to it, you know, you've got a developer that wants to come in and spend millions and millions of dollars in our city and invest in our city. So we sort of have to just see that coming and think, okay, well, where's the development going? It's going out toward stadium, you know, out toward Johnson, things like that. That's where it's hot. You know, back 5-10 years ago, where would you have thought that it was going to go? I mean, it was probably going to go, yeah, look what happened out toward Valley View. You know, that's where they thought the mall was going to go. What'd they do? Come in and just strip that whole thing out there. You know, and that's, you know, if that mall would have went up right there, you would have seen all kinds of different things come up, you know, on that road. You know, but, you know, that hasn't happened yet. Not to say it's not going to happen in the future, you know, but that's hasn't happened yet. You know, you look going out toward Bono. You know, that's a great four-lane highway out there. You know, I see within the next 10, 15 years maybe development out that way because land is probably a little bit less expensive out there, you know. So I believe that we've done a good job as far as enticing development. You know, I think that maybe we could do a better job, you know, on, hey, what do we need to do right now and what can we do? Where can we scrounge up, you know, the money to get that infrastructure, you know, out there and to get those highways developed? But not only that, but not only is it the highways, but you got to look at disbursement as well. You can fill a plastic jug full of water and it's going to overflow unless you have tributaries that are able to, as water comes in, it can release it. You know, so not only is it about expanding major roads, but it's also looking at the contributories that are going to sort of help relieve that, that as well, like Airport Road, you know, is a main, 351, Bridger Road, you know, those are all contributories that's going to help relieve the pressure of some of those major roads. So not only do we have to look at how are we going to ease the traffic on these major roads when these developments get up and going, you know, but what are we going to do to relieve the pressure and how are we going to expand those roads? And that puts us right back into the same situation of, you know, who owns the land that we're going to take, you know, and how are we going to expand those and where's the money coming from and things like that.
I also talked to Tommy Baker, asked him about his thoughts on growth in Jonesboro.
It all goes back to research. If we know that 3%, we grow 3%, what plans are we putting in place to meet that need? We also have to know where they're coming from. Are they coming from Mississippi County or coming from Missouri? What places? So we need to research where this population is coming from, and we need to put a plan in place to meet the need and accommodate that growth, whether it be adequate housing. So we talked about downtown. We talked about various things. Jonesboro, the way I see Jonesboro, it's a lot of separate projects all over the place, but it's not connecting. And we need connectivity in Jonesboro to bring these various projects together, such as ASU, such as Downtown Commission, and these various places. We need to bring Jonesboro together. And then when we get that piece together, then we'll know how to control our population growth.
And also I asked the last question, which was, and many Jonesboro residents remember the flooding that took place a couple of years ago. The city's been clearing out over 60 miles of ditches to try to prevent future flooding. And I asked if there were other measures that could be taken by the city to address potential flooding in the future, and started off with Tommy Baker.
Well, we have to look at the structure of Jonesboro. We sit in a bowl. We're a bowl-like city, and we sit against Crawley Ridge. So the water is just kind of sitting there. And then with the water just sitting there, it's mosquito issues as well. So one problem leads to the next problem. So if we can clear up one problem, then it'll resolve another. So the drainage, yes, keep it clean every 6 months or so, just to go check it out. Also, there'll be more research done by the Corps of Engineers and various departments where we can come up with some type of plan where we can run that water off. Because, of course, I live on Crepe Myrtle. It's kind of hilly. But 2 years ago, my street flooded. And a lot of people that lived in the neighborhood said, we never had a flood over here before. Well, it's a backup somewhere. You know, so cleaning out the ditches on a consistent basis, making sure there's not heavy debris in there. We have a huge ditch that runs behind our yard. They just rip rocked it, but it's not really being maintained, so to speak. They did their job. That was a year ago, but I hadn't seen anyone else there. So we have to continue to stay on top of these jobs and make sure that the drainage issue is cleared.
And Bobby Long also talks about his thoughts on flooding.
I think that we have made headway in the way that we develop and ensure that retention ponds. I think retention ponds has helped a whole lot, you know, in the flooding. I don't think retention ponds solved the issue, but I think it was a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, there was a citizen call me over there, actually by where I live, and I went out there and listened to probably five or six of them standing out in the driveway one night about the issues that they're having with flooding. Went and looked at the sidewalks and their fences and what it had done and where the water goes. And I even spent, 15, 20 minutes out in the rain walking this ditch because I thought, you know, it is raining pretty good right now, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to look at what's happening in this particular area and what's going on. And I actually walked that ditch in the rain, you know, and was looking at these things and looking where the water was going and how it was flowing and things like that. Then I talked with Craig Light, city engineer, and he sort of took me through an engineering perspective of what they do. You know, a lot of times you might think, well, they're just bottlenecking that water up. Well, actually what they're doing, they're not actually bottlenecking the water. What they're trying to do is make it flow at a rate to where the ditches on down the line can handle it, you know. So when he gave me his perspective and I looked at that, you know, I think that we have to be very, very careful and very, very intentional on how we look at these developments that are going to be coming. Because if you look down Stadium, we've got a lot of different land that's for sale right now, but I guarantee you in 5 years it will not be that way. In 5 years, you will see development after development along State or Johnson going out toward Paragould. Hopefully we can see that growth in other areas of the city as well. But when we do, we have to make sure that that water goes somewhere and we have a good plan for it to go somewhere. I think we can widen some of these drainage ditches. We can make sure that the culverts that are in are capable of handling that water. Mm-hmm. And, for instance, you look down there off of Aggie Road. There's a place to where that's actually maintained by the railroad. Mm-hmm. But when you look at that water and it's going down there, it's wooden crosses and wooden X's that are supporting some of this stuff. And when you look, when you have rushing water that's carrying sticks and limbs and debris, and that gets caught up into that thing, you know, we can ask the railway to clean that out and clean it out and clean it out. But if they don't do it in a proper way, it's just going to get backed up again, same way with the flooding districts. Mm-hmm. You know, and I believe that we're making headway on getting the right people, you know, in place to where they can start putting pressure on those districts to start consolidating them, getting them money so that they can clean those areas up to make sure that the water can go out. Because in essence, and I know this as well as I do, if you're a homeowner, I can make sure my ditches are as clean, pristine, well-maintained, well-mowed, and everything like that. But if the guy next to me where the water's flowing into doesn't have his drains cleaned out, mine are going to back up. So we as a city have the same issue. You know, we have excavators out in those ditches now. We bought another one, and they are constantly cleaning when they can, constantly cleaning these ditches out and constantly making sure that they're clean. But when that water exits our city, we have to make sure that we're in conjunction with the next part of the group and the next leg that does what they're supposed to do. You know, so, you know, we just need to be more intentional and make sure that the requirements for these new developments in retention ponds and drainage and things like that, that they do what they're supposed to do, and that whatever we tell them that they are supposed to do, that it's adequate to hold it and to hold that water and to get it flowing in the direction and at the rate that our ditches can maintain and can hold.
And it's Bobby Long talking about flooding. You've been listening to both candidates in the Ward 6 Position 1 alderman race on the Jonesboro City Council, incumbent Bobby Long and challenger Tommy Baker, answering questions about issues in Jonesboro. More information available on our website. You can hear the entire interview on our website now, on demand at kasu.org. For KASU News, I'm Jonathan Reeves.